Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. If you are willing and able, would you stand as we read the sermon text this morning? The word of the Lord says, "Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." May the Lord bless His word in our hearing. You may be seated. Refocus and revitalize are words that I've been using for a little over a month. When I say refocus, I mean we want to bring new and intense attention to what matters most, zeroing in on the main thing, to bring new focus, new attention, new commitment. When I say revitalize, I'm talking about bringing new life, new energy, new determination to our ministry and mission. So what is it that matters most? What is our focus? What is the point of the church? Why should we gather here week after week? And why should we engage in mission and ministry? I think the answer is very simply worship. All of life, all of creation exists for the glory, honor, renown, love, devotion, and adoration of our triune God, who is eternal, infinite, immortal, omnipotent, omniscient, all good, all love, all holy. The reason that we exist is to glorify Him by enjoying Him and finding our satisfaction in Him. And when we look to anyone or anything else, it brings brokenness, dissatisfaction, ruin, and death to our lives. To be reconciled to God through the forgiveness of our sins, to be transformed into the kind of people that God has always intended us to be, that is why we are here. That is our mission, to bring ourselves back into harmony and communion with God through the only means provided for us, the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross. And when that happens, we experience the fullness of joy and peace in this life and in the life to come. So Christ is to be at the center of our lives, and that's what worship is. But it's not just for us. We're not greedy beggars who go out and find a vast store of bread and satiate our own desires while those around us starve to death. No, we go out and we carry baskets of bread to all the starving people and we offer it to them. We bear the gospel message that alone can satisfy. And we plead with the world to receive this gift that we call bread or living water or peace through Christ, the gospel. We do it because we see families that are broken and shattered because of sin. Our schools are hurting. Our communities are groaning. Our governments are failing. And what is needed most in the world is for Jesus to reign in hearts and minds and lives. And that is what brings true peace and joy and fulfillment. And so that's the mission of the church, to help people know and experience the love of God by trusting in and following Jesus. Or to say it another way, we're here to be disciples, followers of Jesus, who make more disciples. It's disciples who know the peace, the assurance, the hope, and joy of knowing Christ and are urged on to make Him known. So over the last month, I have been encouraging us to refocus on this, to revitalize ourselves in this great task. There have been some warning signs that have prompted this. A few weeks ago, I shared with you that in 5 years, we've had almost twice as many funerals as we've had baptisms. And that should be of concern. It tells me that we need to refocus and revitalize the urgency of our mission. In the last 5 years, our attendance has been flat. It's been plateaued. But if you look back further, we see that in 10 years, we've had a slight decrease. And I think that that trend will continue. That brings me concern, not because I want to make sure Tremont Baptist is here for another 30, 40, 50 years just for the sake of having a Tremont Baptist church in town. Who cares about that? What I care about is being here so that we can communicate the gospel to these little children that are growing up and the little children who are out there, to come into broken homes and offer peace and grace and mercy to those who have not experienced and felt it, to tell the vile, guilty sinner that there is forgiveness and Jesus has paid it all. That's why I care. And I hope that's why you care. Not that there would be a name for us, but there would be a name for Him. God has been so good to us. We are so blessed. I think we have a wonderful church. I think that our church loves the Lord. I think we love each other. I think we love our community, but it's so easy to go into coast mode. I kind of feel like it's the start of the fourth quarter. We're down by 12. Are we going to pull together and rally? Or are we going to lay down and give up? What's it going to be? I've been to ball games where I've seen both happen. Haven't you? You've been to ball games where the team is down and the coach says his coach thing, but there's one kid on the team. And as they're walking out, she says just the right thing that needs to be heard. And somebody steps up and makes a play. And all of a sudden, things turn around. You got the same people, the same game, but it all changes. That's what I want to see for us. That we turn it around. I want to be a part of a church that rises to the occasion. A church that rallies to the call. A church that doesn't care what the culture or the world around says or does, but passionately and fearlessly pursues God's kingdom agenda with conviction and boldness. I don't care about being the biggest, the richest, the fanciest. I just want us to be a church that has big faith in a bigger God who will do big things more than we could ask or imagine as we surrender ourselves to the Lord. That's why I love this phrase, scrappy church, that used by Tom Rainer. That's what I want us to be. A scrappy church that says, we can't, but with God on our side, we can. I pray for that day when we see baptisms every month. Do you? Do you think that could happen? Baptisms every month? I wanted to say baptisms every day, but I don't have enough faith yet. I'm being honest. So I tell you what I sent an email to our praise team, our worship team, and I asked them to join me in praying for baptisms before Easter. Would anybody join me in that prayer? God, give us some baptisms before Easter. Let's beg God for that. Let's beg God that He does that. I long to see families reconciled, relationships restored, marriages saved. Anybody want to see that? And I'm tired of seeing families fall apart. I want to see a difference made. I want to see love and care demonstrated for the hurting and the broken. I want to be a church where people who can't go to church anywhere else are loved and brought here. So we got a place for you. I want to see men and women and boys and girls serving the Lord. And I'm aching in my heart to see some of these young kids in our church grow up and become missionaries and pastors and church workers. At the end of it all, I want to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful church. That's what I want to see happen. So, without God, we can't do this. Without His blessing, without His grace, without His power, it's not going to happen. But I do think that there are some things that we have to do. You know, God delivered Israel out of Egypt and gave them a home in the Promised Land, but they had to get up and leave Egypt. They had to go through the desert, and they had to cross the Jordan. And I think there are some things that we have to do. We can't do without Him, but with Him we can do anything He'll tell us to do. So we've talked about becoming a welcoming church. We talked about becoming a reaching church. How we got to get outside of our walls and go out into the community, bridge the gospel and talk to others and reach others and demonstrate the gospel to others. And as we do that, as they start coming in, we've got to be a welcoming church where they find love and kindness and mercy, a place where they will find warmth and receptivity as we fulfill the royal law to love our neighbors by keeping the golden rule of treating others the way that we wanted to be treated. But there's one more thing that we have to do, at least one more thing. We have to become a connecting church. You see, I think that sometimes we will reach out to people and we will welcome them in, but then they slip away. They fall through the cracks. So we need to become a connecting church. And in Ephesians 2, we find that the apostle is writing to the Ephesian Christians and he's describing what a connecting church is. A connecting church has a place for everyone, and everyone has a place in a connecting church. A connecting church has a place for everyone. We need to stop saying among ourselves, well, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too decrepit, my years have passed, there's nothing I can contribute. If that were true, you would be in heaven today. I'm being serious here. You may not be able to do what you did 30 years ago, But we don't need you to do what you did 30 years ago. We need you to do what God would have you to do today, right now. No more excuses. Don't say, well, you know what, I'm too young. I'm just a kid. You know, God put an 8-year-old on the throne of Israel and used that kid to bring revival. It's in the Bible. You're not too young. We need to understand that a connecting church has a place for everyone, and everyone has a place in the connecting church. There is a place for you, and when you're not here, and when you're not a part, when you're not contributing, it hurts. It hurts all of us. Real quick, this is going to be fast. I know you're scared. It's not going to be long. I'm almost done. A connecting church has a place for everyone because, number one, Christ died for the nations. We see that in verse 11. He talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews, they were people who thought, hey, this kingdom stuff, that's just for us. We got the covenants. We got the promises. Yeah, we got Abraham and Moses. And those Gentiles, they're just out of luck. And sometimes churches have this mentality and say, hey, this is just for us. This is just ours. They can go find their own thing. No, we need to understand that Christ died for the nations. Every people and tongue, every language and tribe, they're all His. And a connecting church says, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, Christ died for you. So because of this, in verses 14 through 18, He describes the peace and the unity the church experiences when we're brought together in Jesus. So number two, a connecting church has a place for everyone because no sinner is beyond Christ's reach. Verse 17 talks about those who are far away. Some of us despair of praying for lost people because we think they're too far away. There is no one who can outrun the reach of God. It's the gospel of Christ that brings us together. And a connecting church recognizes that no one is beyond the reach of Christ. And a third, a connecting church has a place for everyone because Christ unites us. Verses 19 through 21. Verses 19 to 22 explain that this unity that brings sinners and nations together unites us into one household. Verse 19 says that we are living under the same spiritual roof, as it were. Or, using the analogy found in verse 20, we're the bricks and the blocks making up the temple of God, built on the foundation of the prophets. Those are the Old Testament saints and the apostles, the New Testament leaders, with Christ Jesus as our chief cornerstone. We're being built together to be the holy temple of the Lord. That means that God lives here among us and within us. That's why you need the church and the church needs you. God is among us in a special way. And when you're missing, it hurts you and it hurts us. We've got some bricks that are coming loose at our house. We have the front steps leading up to our front door made of bricks. And we noticed this winter that two of the bricks have come loose. And they're actually, the mortar's all gone. And they're just sitting there. We got to get those things fixed as the weather gets a little better and warms up. Hopefully we're warm from here on out. That would be nice. It'll probably snow on Easter, I'm sure. But it doesn't matter. Spring will come. Without those bricks, the steps are incomplete. They're dangerous. There's a hole there. And somebody who's not paying attention can step in it and fall and get hurt. If we are a temple being built for the glory of God, you are part of it. And when you're missing, there's a hole. And it's incomplete. So connect, be a part, unite. You need the church to become all that God intends you to be, and The church needs you to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. So this morning, I'm urging you to connect, and I'm urging for us to be a connecting church. We want to help people connect with Christ. We want to connect with Christ. We communicate the gospel message to people. We urge people to be Christians. We need to admit that we are sinners, believe that Christ has died on the cross for our sins, that He rose from the dead, and confess Him as Savior and Lord. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, that's the very first thing you need to do. Would you do it? And then as we do this, as we become Christians, as we admit our sin, we believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, He was raised from the dead, we confess Him as Savior and Lord, we deepen our fellowship with Him by connecting with Him on a daily basis through Scripture and prayer and devotion. Are you connecting with Jesus on a day-by-day basis? Number two, we connect with the church. We unite with the church through baptism, and we join, we become a part of the family. We're not just pew sitters, but we become vibrant members of the body. We come to worship because we're part of the church family, but then we participate in groups, whether it's a Sunday school group or a small group that's meeting, a Bible study that's meeting. We develop deeper relationships with each other because we need to go deeper with one another. We meet one-on-one with people. I'm glad to meet one-on-one with anybody. I know Victoria's been meeting with some gals the last several weeks and months. There are others who will meet with you if you're ready to go deeper, if you're ready to connect on a deeper level. Let's do it. Let's build relationships with one another. Let's love and care for each other. And third, let's connect with the mission and ministry of the church to worship and exalt Christ, to use what we have to bless and serve others and spread the gospel. We all are gifted. We all have opportunities. We all have passions. Let's use those. Our mission and ministry will lead us beyond ourselves, will lead us out in the community and the world to reach people who need to connect with Christ. And we come together in this mission and ministry, and it brings us closer together. Great things are happening here. God is doing great work here. And God has great things in store for us. There will be seasons of suffering. There will be some hardship. But God will restore us. There is victory in Jesus because of the steadfast love of the Lord. So connect to what He's doing and help others connect too. Let's pray. Father, may we be a connecting church, connecting people with the gospel, connecting one another in gospel relationships, regardless of our backgrounds, regardless of our circumstances. Help us all to be connected to the mission and the ministry that You've called us to, and do great things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.